radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
At 11 years old, his father would wake him up to fight grown men in parking lots. An abused kid who rose to become a bare-knuckle boxing champion. A father who would do anything to give his daughter a better life. Even betting on himself in the underground world of bare-knuckle boxing. An inspiring underdog story that reads like a real-life Rocky. A dad. A dream. A fight like you've never seen. 73-0. Undefeated champion. Bare-knuckle.
And that's where we left off, so let's begin. Bare Knuckle is the name of the book. Bobby Gunn is the name of the guy who is 73-0. He's sitting to my immediate right. He's a dad, a dream, and a fight like you've never seen. And Staten Bonner is the author writing about Bobby Gunn, his family, and his legacy and how we got here. Welcome to both of you guys.
Thank you, Sir Brian.
All right, first off, Bobby, tell me, what is a bare-knuckle boxer? No gloves, right? What's the difference?
Yeah, 100%. Bare-knuckle fighter is like bare-fist boxing. But you have rules, like you're kind of boxing. You have a fair play, man, a referee giving fair play. And that's how it was done. But when the fights I done, the underground fights, it was organized. There was a referee, a fair play mine, and winner take all. Each man put a certain amount of money up. Like you put $5,000, I put $5,000. Well, you know you got to win, Brian. You got to go home the winner. You can't go home the loser.
Right.
That's how it was done.
When did you start boxing?
I probably started I had diapers on. I was shadow boxing. I think 5 or 6 years old, I had my first amateur fight.
Because your dad did what?
Fighting too. Dad was a fighter. My great-grandfather was a fighter. My grandfather was a fighter. He's born and bred into me. Brian, and I say this a lot. I got my little dog, Max, here. Like you see my French bulldog.
That's panting in the background.
Yes. He won't stop. But all people in the world, they're the same, but there's different people, sir. All dogs have the same DNA, canine bloodline. But there's different breeds, Chihuahuas, Poodles, and Pit Bulls. My people, sir, were pit bulls. We're born and bred for fighting.
Right.
You know, Tyson Fury is a cousin of mine, heavyweight champion of the world. It's born and bred. All of us like that. It's our life. We're immortalized. We love the fighters.
And just like in normal times, the toughest people are also the nice guys. You are a nice guy.
Oh, thank you.
Who are tough as nails.
Thank you, sir. Brian.
So, Staten, what attracted you to this story?
In all my years as a journalist, it's the most amazing story I'd ever come across. I mean, Bobby Gunn is a true life underdog Rocky story. You know, grew up, his father training him at 11 years old to fight grown men in parking lots for cash. When I met him in 2012, initially I've been reporting this book for 12 years. I went with him around, met his family. He was fighting in illegal underground mob-backed matches for money to put his 7-year-old daughter through private school. And I went with him one morning when he dropped his daughter off at her school. And he came back in the car and he told me, you know, the fights aren't what scare me. I'm always worried dropping her off that one of her friend's parents are going to find out what I do and somehow shun or think less of my daughter. And I said, this is just an amazing person.
So it's not a fighter story. This is a great family story.
It's a father. It's a story of a father.
And his father.
It's a story of a father. Bobby came up under very hard circumstances, an incredibly abusive, hard childhood, which he can talk about to harden him as a weapon. And he wanted a better life for his children, and that's what he was fighting for.
So when you say underground, Bobby, you literally underground, out of nowhere, a warehouse could turn into a ring. And these fights last, what, 5 minutes?
There's no rounds. You fight as long as you want. I've seen fights go an hour.
Really? You've had – what's the longest one you've had?
Well, the longest one I had, maybe about 20 minutes. You know, for me, I was a little bit luckier that way. But one time I fought in a plaza. And there was a grocery store right next door. And I mean, in this plaza, the room where we were fighting, there was a newspaper on the floor covered, soaking the blood of fights, maybe 20 fights before me. Can you imagine, like I say all the time, an old woman and her granddaughter walking down aisle 9, oblivious to what's going on right next door. These fights happen, Brian.
People just bet. They put the money down. The Absolutely. Fighter's there. You get half the purse usually?
Well, you usually know how it goes. Like the underground fights, the range, winner take all. I put up money and you put money. You want to make money. Or sometimes it's range difference too. Sometimes like the backers, like let's say a certain group backs me, he might put $50,000 up. A group backs out, a guy I'm fighting, they put $50,000 up. I might get like 25 out of that if I win the whole thing.
You know, and a lot of times you got to fight to get your money, right?
Well, listen, you can't go home with my wife with no money. She'll kill me. She's tougher than fighters on fight. You know what I mean?
So this is happening. It seems like you're describing the 1830s.
Yeah.
But you were doing this in what years are you doing this? Was your dad doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I fought all like to the 2000s right now. I just retired, 5, 6, 8 years ago. I mean, I retired from it. But, Brian, this has been going on hundreds of years, and it's going on right now. Even though the sport is sanctioned, it'll be going 100 years around.
There is bare knuckle boxing now.
Oh yeah, legal sanctioned bare knuckle boxing, and then like I said, the underground is still going. It's like Charles Bronson, Hard Times, a movie,
which was one of the best movies I ever saw.
Yeah, it was.
So, what makes Bobby great?
I think it's his skill as a pro boxer. He was an IBA world champion in the boxing ring.
Cruiserweight, right?
Yeah, cruiserweight. Just never got his due. He was fighting under Don King's son, Carl King.
That'll do it.
Yeah, never got his chance. And when his mother was dying of hepatitis C due to a bad blood transfusion, Bobby started fighting in underground matches. He'd been fighting bare knuckle for years, since a childhood, obviously, but for real cash. And he immediately started to win. And that got his name around the circuit all across the United States. And that's when he began fighting and growing his legend. But I think he's a champion because he's got such a heart. Again, you know, lays prostrate on the ground before fighting. It's just very religious. His two main values are religion and fighting. And I think that's given him a champion's heart.
Right. To me, in reading this, you're not in a rage when you fight. You're focused, right?
Yeah, I'm focused. I'm a nice guy. Most fighters, Brian, are proper fight men, are good men. We're not bullies. You know, I'm a bully slayer. Like I said, you know, I like the bullies, but I give you something you needed. I take my shirt off, I give it someone who needed it, because I know what it is to go through times when you never had it. But when I focus on a fight, I'm nice right now, but there's a switch.
Right.
Fully focused opponent. And to beat me, Sir Brian, they got to kill me.
And they haven't beaten you.
For 11 years, no, I never lost any of them. I fought on the underground circuit. That means America, from Los Angeles to New York. Everybody they could put in front of me, top mafia groups, and put money together. I beat them all. And thank God I did. I was in pretty scary situations throughout it all, Brian. It's like a movie. I mean, it really is. But I mean,
one of the first things I get out of the book that surprised me is when you are a bare-knuckle boxer, it's so easy to break your hand. You're done. So you can't hit as hard?
No.
You got to hit differently?
Totally different world than boxing. I was a boxer. I fought the best fighters in the world, Roy Jones, James Toney. I was honored with Glenn Johnson. I fought the greats. But in bare knuckle boxing, it's a different world. You know? I mean, the guys I lost in the box ring, put them in a straight, and I'll go through like a dose of salt. So that's my world.
So why? Why would you beat Roy Jones Jr. and James Toney in the street?
Because them guys don't know how to fight the real bare knuckle way.
And the bare knuckle way is a way to hit somebody.
Hit somebody, position, and anything about throwing a bunch of punch combinations, a bell box, each punch can end it all. One punch is the most important punch in bare knuckle boxing. You're like a surgeon.
Bare knuckle is the name of the book. Bobby Gunn is the guy. Staten Bonner is the author writing Bobby's story. So, Staten, describe who comes to his fight. Sometimes he brings his son to his fight, right?
I mean, absolutely. His son was with him at all these fights. His son was with him at his side working every day.
Doing asphalt,
yeah. When I first met Gunn and I learned about this world, I was given an address texted to me. I went to this address. I was working here in Manhattan at GQ Magazine as a writer. And then I went to this address. I was given another address, and it was an undisclosed location. Bobby Gunn walks out of a abandoned gym, and he's wearing a black T-shirt with a baseball bat slung across his shoulder, and it was slightly raining. And that was my introduction to the underworld. That day I saw a Hell's Angel fight a former Marine for cash. And this is a group of people. You know, one guy standing next to me said, "This is incredible because it's illegal." I mean, it was exciting. People were betting. You had to have known it was an invite-only situation. Obviously, there were multiple fights that day. I was just hooked by this world, and especially Bobby's story.
So with everybody you match up against is tough, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got lucky with him, but I'm at those fights, Sir Brian, he just said that you see different people. You see mafias, attorneys, district attorneys,
police officers. Did you find a guy from the Latin Kings?
But this time, they're all together in harmony, was watching fights. And they could be enemies and walk out that door. It's a comical world. But one time I fought across from a police station. In a little place, and there was oblivion that was going on.
Right. And if the cops found out?
Well, why I used to wear a tank top. You know, that was my trademark, and a pair of jeans. If it got rained, I put a coat on, I just slip in everybody else.
Look like everybody else.
Is it?
How did you do against James Toney?
I broke my hand. I was winning the fight. I broke my hand first. I went in the fight with a broken hand, Sir Brian. It's right there. I never really healed right. And they stopped the fight because I wasn't thrown by my right hand. I was one-handed fighter. Come on, Sir Brian.
Right.
See, I fought Roy Jones. He stopped the fight to cut my nose. So, Brian, do you think I care about cutting my nose?
No.
That's the boxing game. You're not just fighting the opponent. You're fighting the judge.
Right.
You're fighting the referees, and a lot of corruption in that game. You know, I love it. I'm a fighter, but honestly, truly, and I mean, if the Lord's looking upon me today, it was more fair the underground world than the pro game world.
So what I was told with Vitor Antifermo, he was always a bleeder.
Yes.
So he used to put his face into pickle juice.
Yes.
To tell listeners about what you used to do to get your hands and your face ready. What types of things did your dad have you doing?
Well, my dad would take witch hazel. You know witch hazel?
Yeah.
Olive oil and rub that on my face, a wee boy, and all that. My nose is gone.
Yeah.
The cartilage, right? So but he rub it all like
did
that.
You have it removed or was it just knocked out?
Actually, my dad took it out.
Your dad took out your cartilage in your nose?
I was in a fight, right? I was in a fight boxing, fighting this guy. He's like an amateur. He goes, uppercut. My nose just, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. So I was back to the corner. Naturally, you know, don't blow your nose, right? Everybody tells you that your nose is broke. Don't blow it because it's full. He went, blow your nose, boy. I said, no, Dad. He went, no, right now. The little piece of cartilage came like that. He pulled it right out the fight. I went up the next round and knocked the guy out. I won the fight. But that was it. It went away. He's like a surgeon, though. Ain't that bad? No.
That's incredible. I mean, people see when I talk to you on television, but you push your nose all the way down.
I'll do it like that.
And what about Roy Jones Jr.? He must have been frustrated because he's an elusive guy at the top of this game.
He's a good guy. I like I said, a lot of things when that fight wasn't right. I fought them all. I like Roy's a good guy, but listen, I love him. Put me in an elevator with him, it'd be a different world. But my world of streets is a different world.
Right.
Because
he moves.
There's two, but even a bare knuckle, those guys. They would break their hands quick because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I want you to break your hand. I think before I'll break.
On your head.
Bang. I said, one hand's gone.
What's amazing about Bobby's pro boxing career is he left at 21, disgusted with the game because his mother had died, spent 10 years in the underground becoming this legend for his bare knuckle fights. And then with the birth of his son, he wanted to show him he was more and show him his pro boxing skills. So he came back to pro boxing at age 30. Thomas Adamek, James Toney. Roy Jones Jr. All of these guys were fascinated by his legend in the underground, and that's what got him in these pro boxing matches.
And Sir Brian, you know, I never had the training camp these guys had.
Yeah.
Who trained you? Your dad?
But my dad was gone. I was training myself over here in this country, over here, and training the gym and paying sparring partners to spar. All these guys, I was out working every day, sir, working from morning till night. If I had the training they had,
he fought Thomas Adamek Prudential Center, Jersey, thousands of fans. Adamek's got a whole entourage. Bobby Gunn shows up out of work, just off his truck, by himself. He has one person with him. He's getting checked in. The guy's like, why do you have paint on your hands? Because he just came out of work. And he would go into the ring in front of thousands of people. And that's how Bobby lives his life.
That fight there, I had him beat in the fourth round, and they stopped me. Think about it, Brian, you know boxer, right? It says only the referee can stop a fight with the advice of a doctor. When did you ever see a fight with no knockdowns? He was breathing with legs up. I couldn't breathe. I was coming on like a bull the last round. They stopped the fight, the doctor in the corner with no cuts. Now, watch this, everybody. Ready? Investigation on the little guy. He pulled up a thing. All the money went on that day for me not to go in the fifth round.
I interviewed Adamek, and he said, people told me not to fight Gunn. Who is this guy? He said, he has a heart of a lion. I wanted to go in the ring with him.
I like Thomas. He's a nice kid.
Right. Well, what I noticed, too, I did the first four UFCs when they did not know how it would turn out. So I have a sumo guy against a karate guy, mixed martial arts. The only way to lose is to get knocked out or choked out. They created the octagon. I saw it on paper. I watched it be put together for the first time.
Yeah. Wow.
And because I was doing stand-up at the time, and the guys that I was with said, you know, I do music and entertainment. Brian, you're the only guy I know who does sports. Would you take a look at this? And I said, well, that's crazy. So he goes, see the jiu-jitsu guy on his back? He's winning. And he just talked about it. He goes, it's going to be a battle of the disciplines in that world.
Yes.
And within the first 3 minutes, I think the sumo guy got his teeth kicked out.
He did by the guy from Holland, right?
By the guy from Holland, who didn't even look in good shape, right? No, he just lined him up, kicked his teeth out. He goes, I quit. And Horion Gracie wouldn't open the door. And I'm sitting there as the ring reporter going, this is not going to be good. You would have been great in that.
Did you
know how to grapple?
Yeah, well, see, my dad fought that way. See, Brian, you see the MMA fighters, they're great fighters.
You know what? Hold on to that thought. We'll take a time out. I got a few minutes on the other side. The name of the book is Bare Knuckle. You're going to love this story. You don't have to be a sports fan to love this story. It's a great American story. It's the story of Bobby Gunn, 73-0, written by Staten Bonner. And the story is still being written in real life. Up until this point is in the brand new book. Don't move.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick, the show, as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform. And watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
All right, Bare Knuckles, the name of the book. You got to pick it up, especially if you love sports, you just like great American stories. Bobby Gunn, 73-0, retires undefeated, a dad, a dream, and a fight like you've never seen. Staten Bonner has put together the book of his story, and we have time. Bobby's going to be on One Nation this weekend. But Bobby, tell me one more story about this. Staten, you want me to bring it to the Russian story?
Yeah, tell him the Russian mob story out in Sheepshead Bay.
I get a call. How I would get calls, I was never my cell phone. It was that little phone in a boxing gym, the phone. And I would get a note, a call.
There's a picture of it in the book.
Yeah, and I would go gun and call this guy. And I call, long story short, it was in Sheepshead Bay. He goes over, one of a couple of my buddies were with me. He pulls in, should have been the red flag right away. I seen pet leopards. They had cats.
You're
like
kidding.
Leopards. No, chained to the wall. I should have been a red flag. Let's see it out of here. I mean, I walks in. Surprised. It was a movie. It was like things you never seen in life. One's a crazy dance and the finest jewelry, like things like booze and drugs that look like it was all around me. And we're walking through the door. And I thought this guy had a sweater they want me to fight. Yeah, I never seen a man in my life. I have so much hair like George Animal
Full
Steel.
Full hair.
Sir,
George Animal Steel.
I wish they would have took out a lawnmower. I mean, I said, what's he wearing?
How big is he?
But he was a former sumo champion. But 280.
Sambo.
Yeah, 280.
Yeah, monster. But he fights me. Well, good old long fight. We're fighting. And I bust his eye socket. You know, the corkscrew. A crack right there. I heard a snap. But it's more pain. The fellow went down. He should have been out. I said, they wouldn't count him out. He screams to get back up. He gets up. He grabs me. He throws me down real hard his way, which he shouldn't do this, O'Brien. It's fair
he's
play.
Bare knuckle fighting.
Bare knuckle rules. Gets up, fighting. He's in bad shape. His eye starts to come out of his right eye starts coming out. Poor bugger, you know. So I just sit back and I hit him again, drops him. A little young boy, maybe 18-year-old, that group of family that was there, you know, the back of them, puts a gun right to the man's head. Starts swearing and screaming his language. And he's disgusted with him. He turns the gun right at me, Sir Brian. I said, son, don't do that. I says, please. I said, I come here as a proper man. Don't do that, my boy. Put that down. And the old man sitting in the corner with the head man, just playing his cards. And he says, put that gun down. He says, now, pay him his money. Pay the boy's money.
Wow.
And I'm walking out the door, Sir Brian. It was my last fight, Sir Brian. You know, it was my last underground fight. I'm walking out. I says, please, God, me alone, my wife, little girl.
And you did.
Yeah, thank God.
And they beat the hell out of that guy.
I probably saw that. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe shave him, you know, one or the other.
That is some of the dramatic stories. But you go back in the history of bare-knuckle boxing prior to John L. Sullivan, who used to do it. He had an interesting approach with it, his battle with Jake Kilrain. Yep. And I'm up to chapter 6 on it. I'm blowing through it. But you know how John L. Sullivan lost his title to James Corbett, who did this thing called boxing, right? So instead of brawling, it was boxing.
Right.
And that changed the game.
That changed the game. But also,
you do the brawling still.
But see, that fight was John O'Sullivan's first club fight.
Thanks so much. Hey, pick this book up. It's called Bare Knuckles. Staten and Bobby, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so
much. Keep it here.
Thanks,
Brian Kilmeade Show.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.